Now, I'm going to take you past the left hand of God to a spectacular secret that Jesus showed me. I did not even know that this was in the Bible until I saw it with my own eyes, what was happening. Jesus took me beyond the left hand of God, of which I've never told this before, and took me to a part of heaven where you could look right down to the earth, for all of the earth would open up before us. To the left was the bottomless pit, but to the right was this great spectacular vision of the earth, a great be able to see the earth from the heaven. And Jesus said, "This is what is about to happen upon the earth." And I had never even looked in Revelation to read this before, because I was not much of a Revelation reader. But after I saw it in heaven, and I realized it was in the Bible. In the 18th chapter of Revelation, I saw this absolute action of Babylon falling. And Jesus said, "Babylon is falling down there, and we're still literally under the Babylonian system upon this earth." The Babylonian system of finance before the Bible days was gigantic. This was where they borrowed the money to rebuild Jerusalem. They bought it. Now that's considered one of the greatest financial areas of the world of that day. And all of the kingdoms of this world and all the finances in a way patterned in after Babylon. The finances of the banks and all of this great riches, the merchants and the traders of such things as gold, fine linens, and all these things were brought before us, coming up from this earth, before us as we stood on the edge of the precipice of heaven, looking down and seeing all what was going to happen. The political system of this day is more or less connected with the Babylonian system in a way, because the simple reason is it stands on finances and upon merchandising and upon production and commerce to trade with the world throughout. No way could such a system stand without this power of the Babylonian system. And it's going to fall without a question. It's going to fall. The lady wrote "The Day the Dollar Died." She knew what she was talking about. Dr. L, economist, she has seen a vision of this great thing that's happened. But I did not know anything about it. I was just a gospel preacher that preached missionary work, and God had took me at my word and taken me into heaven to see all of His glory. But not only did He let me see all His glory, He let me see the power of what was going to happen, how kingdoms was going to fall, what was going to happen. So we begin to look out of this great window, precipice, looking down upon the earth. We could see it all very clear before us. We could see the traders of all the gold, the traders of all the fine linens and everything. Let me just read it to you in Revelation. And I didn't realize that it was absolutely such a reality until I had been in heaven. And this angel is coming and bringing forth out of heaven what's going to happen. The plagues to come in one day shall her plagues death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord who judgeth her. The age, the disease age, is definitely without question, a reward for tremendous sin, for whoredom, and for all these things of loose morals and all what's happened. And all the gay people and all that, this earth has got into such a shape as Rome, and when Rome fell. And the whole earth is in this predicament of trouble. The whole earth, and as we stood there, we could see Babylon. We could see the governments of this earth. We could see the trading. We could see it all going on, the ships of the sea. We could see them carrying commerce from one place to the other. And then these people that are beginning to come into righteousness, they're going to see the glory of God. They're going to realize what there is in heaven. They're going to realize there's such great power in heaven. They're going to realize that heaven is full of glory. They're going to realize there's diamonds in heaven. They're going to get dreams. They realize they're going to control the wicked demon powers of this world to take away their finances. Because all of these kingdoms are going to fall down without a question. And all of these finances will come into the hand of the Lord. So clearly it was taught to me in heaven. And I had never even read Revelation. It didn't bother with me because it was something I couldn't understand, so I left it alone. But after I saw all the happenings in heaven, I realized John had saw the same thing on Patmos. How wonderful it was. We could look down and see all of the great commerce of the earth traveling, the things that were manufactured, the different things that was being used upon this earth, because it was so miraculous what was going on. And in that 18th chapter, it says, therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death, mourning, and famine. She shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judge her. The judgment of God is upon the earth. Now, God does not cause AIDS, but the devil is the one, that's the payoff of the devil, that causes that. And the kings of the earth, who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her, shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning. What does it mean by the smoke of her burning? It means that it's all going up in dross. In other words, all of this great commerce is going to come to a naught. This country is in such debt right now. Brazil, $90 billion worth of debt, and all these things happening upon the earth. Nobody's able to pay their debt because the simple reason is just too much happened. The dollar does not stand forth with the merchandise. In other words, the merchandise is failing, and you take a factory, if it can't sell its merchandise, it fails and goes out. Exactly. What's going to cause them for not being able to sell their merchandise? Because the people realize God's got so much of it in heaven. And why should they want it on this earth when God's got it all for us in heaven? Like I said in the last tape, all the glorious things of heaven. And praising God, how wonderful. And then standing after all for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city, Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour her judgment has come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth her merchandise anymore. Never before has there been such a great over-factory inventory in the whole history of the world. Over-inventory. Everything is in such a shape that the factories can't exist and produce what they'd like to do because they have no buyers. I was on the airplane the other day talking to a man, and he said, why, we used to be able to sell all of this raw wood all over the world, from Panama City, where I'm here right now, and sell it to different places, but they don't buy it anymore because of the simple reason, one thing, the dollar's gone up so high, it's coming down now, and unable to trade. America has been at the slowest years of foreign trade for the last several years because of the dollar going up so high. Without foreign trade under the Babylonian system, no country can exist. And I saw the falling, looking out of heaven, Jesus said, this is what's going on. Here was abundance of things down there, such as linen, abundance of everything, stacked up upon the earth. And on the other hand, here's what God had stacked up in heaven, diamonds, ready for us to woo down there. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearl and of fine linen and of purple and silk and scarlet and all wool and all manner of vessels of ivory and all manner of vessels of most precious wood, and of brass, and of iron, and marble, the cinnamon, and the odors, and all of these ointments, and frankincense, and wine, and oil, fine flour, and wheat, and beasts, and sheep, and horses, and chariots, and slaves, and souls of men, and the fruits that they that thy soul lusteth after departeth from thee, and all these things which were dainty, which were with goodly, are departed from them, and thou shalt find them no more at all. That is exactly, in other words, the tradings of this world. It's so fashionable for people to go out and do these things. Now, that does not in any way affect the man of God who is in any preaching the gospel, who is entitled to these things. The man of God is so entitled to them that when he gets to heaven, he's going to be given abundance of all these things, abundance of them. And the remnant of these things is going to be turned over the man of God and going to tease the world and say, well, I've got them too now. You didn't let me have them. I used to preach in poverty. I used to do that and didn't have anything. That's what they'll say. But now God's let me taste of the things which he's got in heaven. Let me taste of the wonderful, glorious things in heaven. But the merchants of this world, if you go back in history, you'll find there was a time when there was no crosses made, the time of Constantine, the Roman ruler. And they had the goddess Diana back in those times, and they'd always make forms and images of the goddess Diana. So then Constantine compromised with the sun worshippers and with the Christians, and they formed a day of where they were going to April merchants. Say what they did, they gave the job over to the merchants, not the Christian merchants, to create and form the cross. So they took away the image of the goddess Diana and then made the cross, which was good. However, it was still under merchandising. You go out today and you buy a cross. You don't buy it from Christians generally. You don't buy it from its form, but you go out into the world to buy the cross. They're handling the oracles of God. You go out there and buy a cross out there. You can buy any religious articles you want to buy out in the world. You can even buy the dove out there representing the Holy. You buy everything out there because the merchandise saw the opportunity to make money on the articles of God. And so they begin to merchandise with God's sacred things. Merchandising of all kinds of things, of God's sacred things. They begin to merchandise them. God's going to say it's enough. So then the falling of the Babylon, the falling of these kingdoms is going to happen. As I looked down upon the earth and saw the wailing, as they were crying over, couldn't sell their merchandise, they couldn't sell their fine linens, couldn't sell their clothes, couldn't even sell the flour, the fine flour. You see, there's fine flour and there's coarse flour. And the fine flour is for making delicacies. And they had it on hand, couldn't sell it because people wouldn't buy it because they were looking for something better. And what was happening? They knew there was a better things in heaven. They begin to get a vision of heaven. They begin to realize our people, God's people, who are going to heaven, begin to have visions of heaven and know that in heaven there was something much better. So they begin to say, well, we don't want these earthly man-made things. What do we need them for? We're going to have so much of this glorious reality in heaven. And that's the merchandising of the world is going to fall, and I saw it falling, the trading. You could see the ships from heaven laid up in the harbors, unable to call because there was no merchandise being sold. And that's what's the system, the monetary system, and all the system of this world is going to fall. And there's going to be a joyful feeling in the hearts of those who have salvation. Because they're going to realize that money that was being used for the commerce of the world, they don't want it anymore. In other words, they will not have the desire to get it anymore. While man is making some fantastic things to use, like the automobile, all these things. But they will not want to buy their merchandising. They will not want to buy like all at Woolworths, Kreskes, and all these places will go out of business, and they've done it because they won't sell all their trinkets because the people will not want their trinkets anymore because they'll be looking toward heaven to see the glories of heaven, and they have a desire for the things heavenly. That's exactly so. As we looked down upon this earth and saw this all happening, we saw them crying. Here the merchants was, and they were standing before their shops in the streets saying, business is slow. We can't sell anything anymore. The Christians used to come by and buy it, but they're not coming by anymore. They seem to have got hold of something better. They've got hold of something different. They've got hold of something to desire. They seem don't want to do business with anymore because now they've established their own business. Isn't that something? That the Christians now don't trade with the world, but they've established their own business and doing their own thing. And this is what's going to happen. Now let's turn to what the Christians are going to do. These beautiful bookstores of the world, the books, let me see, I've got $10,000 worth of books out here in the storeroom of all the ones that have done wonderful things, such as Amy Pearson and also Brother, all of them. I've got them there. Norval Hayes's, I've got whatever he's written. And Summerall, I've got his, all out there. Wonderful books for people to read. I got stacks of them out there, and I'm going to put them. God's going to have us open a bookstore, as well as these tapes that we're selling. Big bookstore, just like in Oklahoma City, the Brother Piper's got at Christian Assembly, taking over the merchandise of this world. That's what we're going to do. In other words, we can merchandise among ourselves. The Bible says, "Do good unto the house of faith first." Now, even the rest of it, all these, but God's people is going to take over the commerce of the world, and they're going to take over the business. I'll tell you that sometime when we take over the business. What do you mean we're going to take over the business? We're going to establish our own banks. We're going to let the other banks go and do what they want, because we're going to do good on the house faith for what other kind of business? Well, we're going to sell linens. We're going to have our own merchandising of linens, and let the world, and the world will go broke, and we'll become rich. And we're going to also have different kinds of copyrighted foods and all this kind of thing. We're going to start our own business in the world among God's people, amongst our own. We'll have the very best of production. We'll produce clothes much better than the world is doing, much better than Babylon is doing, because we'll not be looking to make ourselves all very become very rich just for the purpose of enjoying the richness. We'll do it all for the glory of God. We'll do it all to establish His kingdom, and this kingdom upon this earth. Then we'll merchandise. Can you imagine going down the street and find a barber shop wide open, and in there a Holy Ghost Christian say, come on in, praise the God, and start picking his tongues. That's exactly what's going to happen. We're going to take over the commerce of the whole world. Who? God's people. We're going to take it over, and before Jesus comes, we're going to do it. We're going to take it over. We're going to take all the fishing industry over. Do all this kind of thing. We're going to go out fishing. And we can beat Babylon because of simple reason. We'll be not in it for profit. We're not in it for self-gain. We'll not be in it to make the pockets of dirty men rich. The pockets of those whoremasters rich. The pockets of those ones who are playing whoredom. We'll not be making them rich anymore. We'll not be doing that. We'll not patronize the madams of the world who are making it fit so these merchandisers can wallow in the sin of this world. Exactly what's going to happen. You say, well, that's blowing my mind. Your mind is going to get blown, I'm telling you. What's going to happen now? As we look down over the great merchandise in the world, Jesus said, that's all going to end. They're going to go broke. They're going to go broke. And he looked around at me. The people of God, you and your people down upon this earth, my people, is going to take over. We're going to take over all of it. Going to take over real estate. We're going to take it all. Watch out. Now we're going to take over real estate. We're going to band ourselves together in the power of the Lord, because the riches of the wicked, I'm talking about the riches of the wicked, the riches of Babylon, and all the riches of the world, is going to be transferred over to us. It was something to watch. A big company going broke. We was up there, and Jesus said, it's going broke. You see it down there? Their trucks are all in their yards. They can't sell it. All that stuff's piled up there, and they can't sell it. Wonderful stuff. Television's piled up, and all kinds of things, because they can't sell it. Because why? Because God's people are going to make their own television. And I'll tell you one thing. We're going to control satellite. And when we control satellite, we're going to control it through the power of the Holy Ghost. And on the satellite, when we control it, there'll be no dirty movies coming over. Now, I'll tell you that, because it'll be clean and pure, and on the pots will read, holiness unto the Lord. That day's coming, my friend, is coming. Now, as we were up there, we saw, as we said, this great company falling. And we could see the executives of that company together holding a conference. And they were holding a conference, and they decided, and then we saw the man go out and close the gate. Because, and put the workers out. That's right, exactly. Now, when God's people take over a business, it's been proven time and time again. When a man has a business and he can't operate and he's going broke, if God's people get in there that know their business, taking over, the first thing, though, the man will be paying his tithes and he's making money hand over fist because he's turned his business over to God. Many of these merchandisers are going to realize the day's up for them. And they're going to turn it over to God's people. I'm telling you, this is outlandish talk, but it's the truth. It's what Jesus showed me in heaven, and I'm going to tell you, I'm going to believe what Jesus showed me. I'm going to believe. Now, let's go back over to the airplane industry. Now, we sure had the trouble over all the different ones in industry. Never before has been such a competition in airplane business, like Braniff Airlines. And you name it, Republic, you name it, all there, all having competition against one. There used to be, in the days of the old tri-motors, when I first started flying, the DCs of those days, there was no competition. You got on a plane, you paid a fair price, and you went and got there. But today there's such competition that these airplane companies are against one another. They're fighting one another. They're fighting one another to counter for customers. Why? Because they see the writing on the wall. They're trying to save themselves. But we're going to have our own airplane companies. We're going to fly in the name of the Lord, been ready, because we're able to use the chariots in heaven. And all of this commerce, this world, is going to be turned over to God's people. That's going to be a wonderful day. We're going to have the riches of this world, but we're not going to have them just to go out on yachts and just go out hunting. We're going to use it for a purpose, to go into the soul-saving business of the world, to save souls, to get these tapes into the four corners of the earth, to get these books, Christian books, in the four corners of the earth, to get the glories of God, to get Bibles out there, get them into the four corners, because the earthly commerce is going to fall as I saw it fall. And then this angel was in charge of this. Now this angel, God had put this angel in charge of this. So I spoke to that angel. Oh my, you spoke to an angel. I spoke to that angel. And he said, you're on the right path. You're doing the right thing. And he said, that all of that merchandise down there, as we stood and looked with the angel down upon it, looking down upon this earth, you could see chaos and trouble. Look at all the terrorism's going taking place today. Look at what's happening. People are so jealous because the other party want to kill, they want to rob, they want to take people's lives. That's all in Babylon, every bit of that. Horrible conditions in this world of those that do not have peace and joy in their heart, wanting to upset the world and wanting to tear things up. That's the merchandise of this world. They're fighting among themselves. They're jealous of one another. And these that have not want to do terrorism work and tear it up, hijack planes and all these things. That's all going out in Babylon, all that's happening in Babylon. But into the glory world, it's altogether different. God's people, so lovable, so with one another, and coming together. In Honolulu, never before. I was in Honolulu and had a wonderful meeting not too long ago. But you know, churches wouldn't cooperate together some way or another. But we had such a glorious meeting, such a wonderful meeting, that all the churches there next year are wonderfully coming together. And they're going to cooperate in a great soul-saving campaign. Assembly of God, Church of God, all of those over there, Independence, you name it. They're coming in together because they see in unity and in strength we have power. In unity we have power and strength. Jealousy, devils are going out the window, and all that self-made desire is going to be gone, that they themselves might become rich. They might get a great big something glorious, or a big yacht to ride in, or all these things. And the desire will be gone for that, because they want to do it all for Jesus. That's what the world wants. That's what the merchandise are doing. That's what they're doing out there in the world. They're doing it to control. It's so in some villages and some places of the world, some towns of the world. They control finance. And you can't get into that town unless you're going to pay your dues to these ones that control the merchandise. The only way you can do trading. But that's gone. That day is over. A penny for a penny, and all that's going to be finished when they're doing this, all this accurate trading of doing this thing in this day. So as we looked down, we saw these merchandisers falling. We were in heaven. Now I'm in heaven, looking down. I told you I'd be in heaven, looking down what's going on down this earth. The angel of wisdom was telling me what was going to happen. As he was telling me, there, and I said, how long is this going to happen? He told me, when you get back to the earth, when you get back, it's going to move so fast and so quick that it'll fall. Babylon is going to completely fall. The Babylon system is going to completely fall. And that Jesus Christ and his power and his system is going to rise up in a glorious power upon this earth. And they'll say, who are these people coming forward? Who are these people? Tall and people. Who are these people that's walking through the world, that's taking everything over? They'll say, those Christians. Those Christians, those word people. My, they're getting so powerful, they're taking over. They're taking over. There'll be nothing they can do about it because it'll be so legitimate and so real because it's God's plan. And some of them will say, well, if they're so successful in the way they run a business, we're just going to get saved, turn our business over to them, and let them run it for us. And that's wicked money going to be turned over into the hands of the righteous as we look down upon this earth and see this all taking place. And then when it happened, and then Jesus turned around, said, let's sing to the glory of God, because it's going to happen. As we came back from this place, all of heaven began to have joy, because it's going to happen. Heaven knows what's going to happen in Babylon. They know it's going to fall. They absolutely know it's going to fall. And they know that Jesus is going to be made Lord, for Jesus is our Lord, before he goes to heaven. Now, you have friends. You want to put some of these wonderful tapes and albums into the hospitals. Send and get six or seven of them. Put them in, because this will be a good way you can preach the gospel. You can take these albums into the hospitals yourself, walking with them, proud and bold, and say, We have some albums here. We'd like these people to be able to sing. The doctors, of course, they begin to know about it. The doctors say, is that that one that that lets them feel no death? The Jewish doctors say, the different doctors, is that the kind of album that lets my patient feel no death? It'll make it so much easier for that doctor to not have a crying, suffering, painful patient. And that many doctors now are already taking these tapes and giving them to patients, they might become acquainted with heaven. Isn't that wonderful that the medical world now is realizing that heaven, that to know there's eternal life, helps their patients and keeps them from pain and trouble and keeps them from all this crying death and keeps them from it and be able to let them know that there's a heaven in the glory world. Friends, if you are out there in the hearing of this voice of mine, and you're out there, you're a merchant, you have a farm, you have a business, you have all these things, you may be a doctor, you may be a lawyer out there, but you know that you're not in the condition you were 50 years ago or 20 years ago. You know that it's winding up. You know it's very hard. I'm going to pray for that merchant right now, that man running that business. Father, that man that's running that store down the street, that man's astray of that manufacturer out there, oh God, we pray that you'll make him realize and touch his heart there's a real God, where he can turn his business over to God, that God can run his business. And I'm going to pray now, if you want to turn your business over to God's people, just look out for some good Christians, because he'll run it for you, and you'll make money, because the Christians will be trading with you and will buy your merchandise. The world won't buy it anymore, because they'll realize that they realize that the merchandise is not as good as God's merchandise. God bless you. And friends, I love you very much. Send in for these tapes and listen to the next half an hour. I'm going to tell you about more things about heaven. We've got some who follow the devil complete. Not the ones that say there is no God, only the foolish man says that. Because Bob Ingersoll, at his death, when he said there was no God, at the end, when he was dying, he recognized there was a God. So this is for the people. God is not going to put somebody in the bottomless pit unless they're complete devil's followers and completely devil worshippers, and the ones that believe the devil is their God. I'll repeat them again. Satan worshippers and those that believe the devil is their God. Those that are following the devil completely. That's the one I'm going to deal with now. Not you that were standing on the brink of decision. Not you, but the devil followers. The ones who are definitely following the devil, hook, line, and sinker, the devil, and say, I don't want to follow God, but I'm following the devil, and I could care less. Devil followers do all kinds of things. Now, I'm not talking about that person that's fell by the wayside a little bit, the backslider, who can come back. You can't preach that person into hell. That's terrible, because God's married to the backslider. God's love reaches out to the backslider. God's love reaches out to the unbeliever. God's love reaches out. God is a God of love, but I'm going to talk to those who completely reject God, fight God, and follow the devil. We moved from the left hand of God towards, let's call it, the edge of heaven. We look, Jesus said, hold back, Percy. I'm going to show you something you couldn't believe unless you've seen it. We looked there. There was a hole. Looked as big it would be from here. I'm in Panama City. I'd say 30 to 40 miles across it. This is horrible. We walked to the edge, and there was a pit. I'm going to talk about a pit. Now, you're not going there, but those who are devil followers, devil worshipers, who's fighting God, fighting the Word of God, and fighting it, is the ones that's going into that pit. Now, looking down in that pit, it was bottomless. You couldn't see the bottom, it was so far. And each side of that pit was greasy, greasy, slimy-looking greasy. And then, we looked in that pit, there were souls trying to get out. They were clanging on the side, trying to come out, but they kept falling. Falling, down. And they were crying. Their teeth were gnashing. Friends, don't miss heaven. But this is not for you. This is for the devil followers. The ones who follow the devil completely and fight God. Fight his work. Fight everything pertaining to God. Standing there, and Jesus held my hand. And I was trembling, and Jesus was actually shaking a little bit. Because I could look. If you ever looked into the bottomless pit, you would never, ever be the same. It's horrible, it's horrible, it's horrible, horrible. As we're looking down that bottomless pit, you could see the faces. It was looking like they were all devil faces. And the devil was not in there yet. He was still running around this earth. Then we saw, actually, a soul fall in there. Have you ever saw a soul fall in? When that soul died, that soul went flopping into the bottomless pit. A soul from a follower of the devil. I've heard about a man. There was a devil follower, and it became so hot, his feet became so hot, that he had to put ice packs on his feet. Then they had to put ice packs on his legs and on his knees and on his belly and on his shoulder as he went to death. This is the devil's payoff. This is what the devil will give you. This is what the devil wants. Because of simple reason, he knows where he's going, and he's going to take as many with him as he can. And this man was standing, the soul was standing on the edge of the bottomless pit. Isn't it horrible? Standing on the edge of the bottomless pit. These are ones who are absolutely rejecting God and fighting God and following the devil. This man was standing on the edge of the pit, but he couldn't help himself. The soul man had just died. He just died upon this earth. He just died. His soul left his body. When his soul left his body, it was taken to the edge of the pit. And he went tumbling in to the pit. He went tumbling in. He flopped one side to the other and began to grab the side. But he couldn't hold on. There was nothing to hold on to. As you look down, you could see the fire away down there, the fire. That soul, it's a horrible, horrible, horrible thing. But God really has got nothing to do with it. Because God has turned a person over to the devil. Did you ever hear of God turning a person over to the devil? It's the devil that causes cancer. And all these sicknesses and afflictions, that's the work of the devil. I've seen people leave this world and leave it with no hope because they're following the devil. No hope of joy of heaven whatsoever, but only the pit facing them. As you hear my voice and you give this voice to the people, friends, it's not for you because you've got a way of escape. All you have to do is turn your heart to Jesus and turn your heart to God and say, save me. Save me, Lord. I want to follow you. And Jesus is so sweet. He'll come right and save you. You know what he has? The keys of death. The keys of the bottomless pit. And only Jesus can keep you out. And the way you keep you out, I'm not talking now about that person that's just an unbeliever, I'm talking those people that completely reject Jesus and God and say, I'm going to follow the devil. That's what I'm talking about, because it's a battle between the devil and Jesus. Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. And Satan put up a challenge to Jesus. I'm going to get those souls of yours, Jesus. the devil says, and will take him in the bottomless pit with me. You just see. Now, that devil must be some devil, because he knows what he's going to have to go through. He knows it. But he's such a Satan, such a powerful Satan, and against God, he's going to take everybody with him he can. That's what he's going to do. But don't let him take you. That's exactly what he's going to do. And that satanic power of the bottomless pit is so horrible. And there was chains hooked onto the bottom of their legs and their feet, the devil's chains. Chains around their necks, heavy chains. There was no way they could bring that weight out. They were chained with the power of death, the devil, and all of his power. Don't you think the devil hasn't got power? He has. He still has the power over the winds and the storms. He's never been taken away that position, because it's a battle and it's a fight between the devil and God. The devil caused a war to happen in heaven. And God has fixed this bottomless pit for him to go. But God's going to bring him out of there for a season. Why, I don't know. I wouldn't go in that just to see what God can do. He's going to let him out for a while. But then he's going to be chained with the power of death forever and ever. It's horrible. Chained with the power of death forever and ever. Now, you must be a believer in God. You must do it. You must follow God. You must change your course, your life completely now, and get away from the devil's actions, because he's going to trick you. He's going to do his best to get you in there. He's going to offer you all kinds of things, offer you the joys of this world. He's going to offer you anything you want. He's going to offer you sex. He's going to offer you homosexuality. He's going to offer you all kinds of things. He's going to offer you dope. He's going to offer you everything just to get you in there. He's going to offer you everything, everything, everything demon. He's even going to make you have cancer, TB, all these things to put you into the corner. It's not God that causes diseases. It is the devil. So therefore, the devil's a poor paymaster. All he's got for you is death. But Jesus has the keys of death. I saw a death angel one time coming to a door to take a soul. And he has his death angels, not his living angels, his death angels. He has a whole host of death angels, and he's in control of the death angels. And he says, go to that house and get that one, because that one has rejected God and is one of my demons. That one has become one of my demons, one of my followers, and you go and get him, death angel, and take his soul and throw it in the bottomless pit. Isn't it a horrible thing to talk about? But I must obey God. And then the devil's going to laugh and sneer when he gets you. He's going to laugh at you. He's just going to sneer at you. And he's going to say how foolish that one is. Could have had God, but I got him. He's going to say that one could have had Jesus, but I got him. I'm getting even with Jesus. That's what the devil's doing. How many followers he's going to have, I don't know. But I do know that he's got followers, positively got followers. The demon powers of the devil are all around this earth. The demon powers of the devil. And they work night and day. They're everywhere. There'll be one of them liable to jump in the car and ride along with you. One of those evil spirits. One of them's liable to come to you and say, go out tonight and go jucking. And just do anything you want, because there's nothing to have a good time when you're on this earth. Just go and have a good time. Go and have homosexuality. Take you a man. And that's where we got AIDS today. That's one of the devil's payoff, is AIDS. The medical world has not found a cure yet. Maybe they will. Maybe they won't. I don't know. But it is a plague of the last days. Jesus told me there would be a plague. And he told me, he said, the homosexuals and the perverters are going to cause this disease to happen, but yet there is salvation for them. If they only repent and give up this life and come to me, God can heal can save a homosexual. He can save a murderer. He can save a devil followers. I'm talking to you people out there now. He can do it. Jesus said this would happen if they only come to Jesus. Jesus said, come unto me all ye that are weary. Come unto me all ye homosexuals. Come unto me all these perverters. Come unto me all of ye devil followers. Come unto me and I will give you rest. Jesus will give you rest. And in this great bottomless pit action, when God and the devil fought in heaven, or the devil he cast in, out of heaven, and all of his evil demons and devils with him, they came down to this earth. And there were giants in the earth in those days. Some of them became flesh. Giants in the earth. And they became flesh and to walk the earth with the devil. So he took over this earth. That's right, because in the Garden of Eden, he even tempted Eve. Satan walked in the Garden of Eden. Can you imagine that? Walked in the Garden of Eden. Satan. I'm talking about Satan was cast out. He walked in to the Garden of Eden. God cursed him and said, you'll be like a snake. You'll crawl in on your belly all the days of thy life. But that doesn't necessarily mean that his spirit will. So when you see a snake, you see the devil. No snakes in heaven. You see the devil. And I've seen snakes in the jungles, and they even look like the devil when they look at you with those nasty eyes. Crawl on your belly all the days that you're upon this earth. You'll crawl on your belly. And he's out to devour. It's his business out to devour. And he can become so beautiful and so pretty. Do not always look at prettiness, because prettiness many times is only skin deep. Prettiness is not only skin deep. Look inside to the heart and see what's on the inside. The devil is causing all the trouble. I've been in the meetings with Kenneth Copeland and was with Jimmy Swagger for an hour. John Osteen, my precious man, Brother Harold Nichols. You name it. I've been with most of them and had fellowship. 2000, I believe, on her face, Atlanta, Georgia. Gettysburg with Norval Hayes, Kenneth Copeland, and all these men of God. I've had fellowship with most of them. But the most wonderful fellowship I've had is with Jesus himself. As we walk and talk with God, we must unite together to rebuke the demon powers of the devil. I can name them. Dick Bunnell. All the way through Florida. All the way through from coast to coast. Brother, praise God. God bless his heart in Philadelphia. Brother Daniel and all of these precious brothers and sisters. What wonderful fellowship we're having together, because we are united in the Word of God. So it's going to happen on this fashion. The fashion's going to be this way. Those, not just the rejectors for a while, but those who are absolutely following the devil and doing the devil's work, and there's plenty of them doing it. And as this was cast out of heaven, these demons circled the whole earth. They cause all the trouble. They cause all the heartaches. They cause all the cancer. They cause all the things to happen to the human body, to destroy the human body. But there's life with Jesus. There's healing with Jesus. There's power with Jesus. There's power with God. Now, Jesus has the keys to the bottomless pit. He has the keys. Remember that. He has the key. And the key is this. Come to him. The key is forget all your demon powers and come to Jesus. Now, if Jesus got the key to the bottomless pit, he can sure keep you out. Of course, you don't want to go there. You want to be in heaven with Jesus. Back in heaven, as we look down into the bottomless pit, there must have been several thousand of us looking down at the bottomless pit. And Jesus said, oh, it was wonderful. He held up his right hand and he says, I have the key. Jesus said, I have the key. What a confidence it put in my heart and soul. It made me want to hang on to Jesus so tight. that wanted to just get my hand and never leave him. I wanted to hang on to him. I wanted to hang on to Jesus night and day because he has the key. And the key for salvation is to come on to Jesus. Get your heart into Jesus. For Jesus has all power in heaven. As Jesus walked around heaven on the crystal sea with his power, with his light, with his eyes, with the power that God's put in his hands, he has power over death and the devil. Remember, he has power over the death and the devil. That's a great power that Jesus has. So you put your trust in him. So Jesus showed his power in heaven to me. God, his right hand, is the hand of authority. And Jesus sits on the right hand of God. Remember, right under the authority of God, in the right hand where the power is. He's right there is where he is. Jesus began to demonstrate his power to me. And he had, it must have been 300 angels. He said, Percy, I want them to do a dance for you. Now, can you imagine Jesus having the power over these angels, caused to come out a beautiful dance for me? And he said to me, get all the dancers saved you can upon this earth. Just get them saved. Instead of them dancing with the devil, I want them to dance for me. And there is a ballet troupe in St. Charles, Missouri, a precious troupe. And I was in a meeting in St. Charles with a precious brother, a godly brother. And that ballet troupe came forward and danced so beautiful, I saw the Lord. Now, there's no set plan on this earth of the way you dance, Jesus told me, because he is the dance master. Jesus, hey, listen, Jesus is the dance master. You dance for Jesus. I was up in Grand Forks, way up there in Michigan. Oh, whatever the town was, what's the difference? All Dutch people. And they were dancing Dutch style for God, Dutch style. And then among the black people in Miami, they had their style of dancing. And everyone has their different style of dance. There's no set pattern how you dance. But you're dancing for Jesus. Why do you dance for Jesus? Because he has made it all possible. The dance belongs to us today. Dance before the Lord. Once you dance before the Lord, you break down all that stiffness, all that perdition, all that junk that's in you. You shake it out. You got a great shaking. You shake all that stuff out of you. Shake out all that junk that's in you. Shake it out by dancing. Dancing before God. Dancing is God. Because Jesus told me, tell them all to dance down there because the day is at hand. What are you dancing for? Because you're dancing for the wedding. That's why you dance. You dance because there's a wedding going to take place, not because you just want to dance, because there's going to be a wedding take place. In this earth, many times they dance for the weddings, old old earthy, sexy dancing. That's not what I'm talking about. Going to be a wedding, and that wedding's taking place, and all heaven's preparing for the rapture. And Jesus said, look, that's the way they're going to dance at my wedding. That's the way, as these angels begin to dance. That beautiful, beautiful dancing. Not sexy, the most gorgeous and beautiful dancing you ever saw. Dancing before the Lord. Because there's going to be a wedding take place. And this great dance is going to take place the whole world. I've seen the Arabs dance for Jesus. I've seen the Indians dance for Jesus. I've seen the stiff ones dance for Jesus. I've seen them break loose and dance. You know what that does? That relieves you of your own self, your own pride, which needs to get out. Dance for Jesus. It's so wonderful and so real to see the glorious power of God. Jesus said, go back and tell them to dance for me. Will you do it? Will you come before the Lord and break loose and said, I'm going to dance for Jesus? And the devil hates that because he can't dance. He's never learned to dance. The devil has never learned to dance. Never. Now, a lot of people on this earth, the satanic powers, they dance, but the devil himself can't dance. So he can't join in the earthly joy. You go down to the juke corner and go down there, and they have a different kind of a satanic dance altogether. Horrible dance. Satanic dance. That's dancing for the devil. But for everything the devil's got, God's got something real in the place. And in heaven, I saw Jesus with his power. Everywhere he gave an order, they moved. Everywhere Jesus gave an order. Bring up so many diamonds, they came. Bring up so many onyxes, they came. Bring me so much emeralds, they came. He gave the order for the construction. He gave the order to move for the construction of all these things needed to complete heaven. Jesus is boss of the construction, and he's a good one doing it. He knows his business. I'm telling you, he knows how to build. God's taught him how to build. He's the most perfect builder that I ever saw. I've stood beside the Taj Mahal, the Buckingham Palace, the White House, and you name it, I've been there looking at them. But all those constructions look obsolete and horrible according to what Jesus is doing in heaven. If you could see the wonderful construction that Jesus is doing, and he's a past master at architecture. He's doing such a beautiful job. Every finishing touch as done in heaven is by the hand of Jesus. That's how much power he has. He has all power over all construction in heaven. All God is doing is supplying. He has all power and all power over all the construction in heaven. He's doing a perfect job. He's a perfect engineer. He's laid out heaven. God's given the power. And Jesus has laid out heaven. God's given. You see, the reason Jesus laid out heaven is because he went to Calvary to shed his blood. God created this earth. God laid this earth and fixed this up. And God did those eyes. But this job he's put into the hands of his Son. This is my beloved Son, and so I'm well pleased. He's turned all the construction, all of the work of heaven, over to Jesus. And he's doing a perfect job of construction. Just you see what, when you get to heaven, you'll see what Jesus has done. He's fixed the gates. He's fixed everything. He's put the finishing touches on the brazen altar, the golden altar. He's fixed everything. Jesus has done it all. In my Father's house is many mansions. Would not like to. Jesus said, I go to be the foreman. I go to be the construction man. I go to do it. I go to build the buildings. I go to prepare a place for you. God's given this his job, to entertain the church and to bring the church home. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for giving Jesus, my Jesus, so much knowledge and wisdom to be able to build our heavenly home. Thank you, Father. Amen.